Dana and Kaji, Maggie. Maggie, Dana and Kaji. Maggie.
Oh, sorry. Have you started already, Mark?
We have, actually, yes.
Oh, gosh, I'm really sorry. Really, really apologise, but I was so engrossed in my phone, I didn't hear you. And there you were, right in front of me.
That's okay.
A little bit like Nirankar, I think, who's ever in front of us. And the mind is easily engrossed in other things, like me with that text message.
It's funny how listening can be so far from our looking, though our eyes and ears are located so closely together.
Yeah, sometimes a little bit too closely. Right, so let's get serious now. It's time to put down my mobile phone, which I think can be so addictive, and focus on the saints in the room. So if I can, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Maggie Fletcher from Staffordshire in the UK.
And my name is Mark Mortimer. I'm also from the Midlands, which is also in the UK.
Dan and Kaji.
So, St. Maggie, let's explore the theme, looking or listening, which is our topic for today on Soul Vibes.
Really glad to have you here with me, Mark. What a blessing it is for us to be able to look into this topic of looking or listening, which I think is going to be a bit of a challenge for us.
I agree. It's a very thought-provoking theme, isn't it?
Certainly is. Do you know what I noticed, Mark? We've both said that we're both looking forward to looking into this topic. So I'd like to begin by asking a question. Are we only looking at life and truth, or are we truly listening to what it's trying to say?
Well, looking involves the eyes, but it requires eyes that can decipher. Listening, on the other hand, it involves attention, surrender, and humility. And this reminds me of a quote from the 14th century French mystic, Meister Eckhart, who said, "The eye with which I see God is the same eye with which God sees me." And I think that's a really magnificent quote.
That's really beautiful. I've never heard of that before. I really like that. But you know, the modern world, and in particular social media, is very much based on pictures, images, videos. And people, for instance, are on mobile phones so much and often ignoring people in the same room.
That's right, just like at the start of this episode.
Yeah, you're not going to let me forget that, are you? No. I can tell. But there's a great deal of mobile phone addiction. And I think people's brains have become accustomed to taking information through that visual medium rather than through the spoken word from people. What do you think?
Well, yes, I agree. And speaking as a former journalist myself, I can say that in my days, when I was involved in the aspects of sub-editing and design, of putting out newspapers, we were trained and taught to ensure we used the most eye-catching wording and imagery rather than actually concentrating on the message and the meaning.
Right, yes, I understand that. But it's a message that's really important, isn't it?
It is.
As I've grown older, you know, I've had more time to think more and look deeper into this. If you'll pardon the pun, looking into listening, I've realised how important it is to dive deeper beneath the surface.
Yeah, and that's got me thinking, actually, St. Maggie. I wonder if we've also become deaf to hearing.
I think that's probably quite possible, actually. I've got an example here. I'm one of those people that's always got music on in the car, in the background, like the TV. And yes, it's on in the background, but was I actually listening to the meaning of the words? How much noise do we consume? And from all the sensory input that we're exposed to, how much of what we listen to is actually spiritual wisdom?
Yeah, and if you think about it, the whole universe is just one huge background noise. And there is a great meaning behind it all, and that Satguru reveals. And it's our responsibility to realise this, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And that reminds me of a quote, that the first duty of love is to listen.
So true.
You know, the existential philosopher and Lutheran theologian, and that's not easy to say.
It isn't.
Paul Tillich wrote that. And I wonder if not just about listening intensely, but listening with humility. In which case, are we actually loving as much as we should? So really feel that humility and love really are inseparable.
Yeah, I think that's such an important message, actually, St. Maggie.
I mean, for many years, I personally was looking for the reason and the meaning behind life, just like most people, I think.
Right.
And I've been looking at subtle signs in my life without ever really taking time to work out what they meant. And part of my own journey to the Nirankari mission began seeking by praying to a God that I didn't know, that unknown God. And although he answered my prayers, I didn't really listen to the reply. Yes, I took the answer. I accepted the gift of my prayer being answered, but I failed to listen to the message underpinning it all. And you know, it's taken me years before I realized I hadn't been listening closely enough, and I needed humility to understand that message. And that message was, yes, God can fulfill all prayers, but the purpose of life was to ask not only for gifts, but to actually ask for the giver.
Ah, yes.
Now, I was fortunate enough to be blessed with the knowledge of God from Gyan by Her Holiness Satguru Mata Sudiksa Ji Maharaj. And do you know what? My life has become so full of love, and I'm just so full of blessings. How wonderful. I can see this now.
That's so transformational. Wow. I mean, like you, Maggie, I'm a lifelong seeker. My background also involved, you know, having a strict religious and moral upbringing from my mother, but partly due to being young and rebellious in nature and having the desire to figure, you know, things out for myself, and also to not feel as though I was forced into anything, I drifted away from that kind of embryonic pathway.
Which we do, don't we?
We do.
And I'm trying to imagine you as young and rebellious.
Well, rediscovering for me the conduit to spirituality really came late in life. And it's thanks to the Sant Nirankari Mission that I received the Brahm Gyan, which opened my eyes, brought much peace to me at what's been a very difficult time in my life. You know, it's important to say, though, there's no point in having that experience if you then don't continue with Simran, Satsang and Seva. Remembering this formless one, this company of saints and selfless service.
Totally agree with you. It's totally pointless unless you're actually actively listening.
So let's listen to a devotee who has opened his soul to the transformative Gyan God knowledge blessing. So let's introduce for you Saint David. Dan Nirankarji, David, what a pleasure it is to have you here with us today.
Dan Nirankarji, Mark. I must say, it's been absolutely fascinating listening to the two of you here.
Thank you.
I've got one story which might prove relevant to you in this case.
Okay, would you like to say?
Well, when I was started off in the mission, I had the good fortune to meet Baba Hardev Singh Ji Maharaj. And one of the things he said to me, always, was spread your joy to the world.
Right, that's a wonderful message.
Yeah, but taking it further, to me, joy doesn't simply mean happiness and the like. It can also mean love and the Gyan itself. So for that, I spread my love to everyone, greet everyone, always treat everyone with the greatest of love and respect.
Right, so important. When it's pure love, people of all cultures and backgrounds naturally are drawn to oneness. And as David reminds us, and I'd like to say thank you for your words there, David, because that was really important. One thing that springs to mind is spiritual knowledge only transforms when you actually listen deeply.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that, actually. And I understand what you're saying there. And I think what I learned from Brahm Gyan was to listen and to connect with Nirankar, the formless. It's beyond physical sight, but not beyond insight. And this insight comes from Satguru, and it's also about listening with compassion and without judgment, listening with the ears of Satguru and seeing with the eyes of Satguru.
Yes, and that piece, Maggie, I completely agree. It's why we need to listen to Satguru so that you can realise that actually Nirankar is there and present all along. As I've said before, experiencing the Gyan really isn't enough, you know? It's like the fact a plant needs to be watered all the time. So we need to cultivate this desire to know and to be with Nirankar.
Yes, and that's really important, isn't it? And just on a note, I love gardening, as you probably know. And if I see a plant that is struggling, the first thing I do is go and water it.
Right.
I spend time with it. Mm. And that's a really good analogy there, Mark, actually. And on a physical level as well, listening is so important when it comes to living with Gyan. You know, by attending satsang, we have the opportunity to listen to so many words of wisdom.
Well, yeah, but if you attend satsang and you're not attentive, well, you might as well not bother to have turned up in the first place.
A little bit like me, right at the beginning of this podcast. I was in the room, but I wasn't listening. But I know what you're saying. It's a waste of time. You've got to be fully present, haven't you?
You have, yes.
And I think that this is what many would perceive as being the modern concept of mindfulness. You know, being present and in the moment, which actually has been around for forever.
Oh, yes, I agree.
So mindfulness is about being in the moment, being attentive, genuinely listening, rather than only hearing what people say. Because, you know, when you go to satsang, you're blessed with being in the company of saints. My word, you can grow so much spiritually, can't you?
Oh, yes. And Maggie, this then infiltrates into other areas of your life afterwards, doesn't it?
It really does. It's totally transformative.
Yeah, satsang definitely stays with you and it remains with you until you come back to renew yourself, you know?
It's like recharging yourself spiritually, that's right. Like plugging yourself in.
But you only get that if you put the effort in, right? If you listen and take on board what's being said, and with God awareness, divine love can be felt anywhere we go. And it's not limited to just being at satsang. That said, I must comment that every time I've been here to the Oneness Centre in Wensbury, which is near Birmingham, you know, that love and joy is, well, for me, it's breathtaking.
Absolutely. It's outstanding. But once you've experienced that, and once you've had that Brahm Gyan God knowledge as well, when you go out into the world, you experience that same feeling of love. But as you say, we're reconnecting whenever we come to satsang. Many other opportunities outside of the bhavan as well, because we have, for example, a series of podcasts, Soul Vibes, as well as the Vishars, the discourses of Our Holiness Satguru Mata Sadiksha Ji Maharaj, so we can ingest wisdom blessed by Nirankar. We don't have to wait to become reconnected.
Again, Maggie, I couldn't agree more. It's so important, you know, in this multimedia-driven world. And it's great to have the ability to connect with people here, there and everywhere. But let's not forget the necessity is to listen to the message.
Absolutely. And that's the message today, really. It's the message that's so important. And that also includes listening to people in our everyday lives, like friends, work colleagues or family members. That, you know, they may come to you with their concerns or worries and issues. And it's really incumbent upon us to genuinely listen to what they've got to say, to hear their anguish or their pain, rather than maybe, as we quite often do, and I've certainly been guilty of this, we listen with the intent of having a response or replying to them, rather than just purely listening.
Again, I agree with that, Saint Maggie.
And I think what we're touching on here is the topic of savour, because listening properly can also be savour. I'll tell you what, it's quite striking here really, Mark, is that we know who's always listening, don't we? And who's actually the one who's always listening is that formless Nirankar. And we have this blessing that actually no matter what we say, when we say it, or indeed how we speak it, and of course I'm talking of Simran here,
yeah.
When we have that conversation with the formless Nirankar, we know that Nirankar is always listening to us.
You're quite right, Maggie. I think there's a good quote from Rumi that I'd like to bring up. And that is, we as human beings were born with ears, but real listening comes from the soul. And of course, the soul is Nirankar. It's part of Nirankar, I mean. It's such a beautiful phrase, isn't it?
It really is, Mark, and it sums it up wonderfully. But you know what, Mark? I think people have probably listened to us for long enough for the time being. So I think it's time that actually we gave our listeners an opportunity to hear the wisdom of others. So I'd like to introduce Brother Sergeant from Staffordshire. He's going to share his thoughts and his wisdom on this topic. So welcome, Brother Sergeant.
Dhanankaji. It's been wonderful to hear from all of you today. And when we look at it from a broader perspective, I was thinking about what it means to listen. And I was thinking about nature, actually. And yes, we as humans are part of nature. And nature has every commotion, every sound that it creates, every murmur, each and every rustle from the leaf that falls from the branches. Nature's way of pointing to a direction that something is animating it. Something is moving all of nature. Therefore, something in itself has to be unmovable. And from it, everything moves.
Oh, that's so true, Brother Sergeant.
The sounds and the noises of nature is always beautiful. We never argue about the languages of birds or mammals and why they speak in a certain way, why they tweet in a certain way, or bark in another way, or quack in another way. It would be preposterous, wouldn't it? But as soon as humans begin to speak, even the slightest different language or dialect or tone, it's automatically there's people start having war and hatred and arguments. When we think about it from a deeper perspective, we are also part of nature. And all of nature that creates these wonderful sounds, and language is also a part of sound. And everything comes from Nirankar. And Nirankar is the one who is ultimately without sound, without noise, and without any language at all. But Nirankar, the formula, isn't just the absence of sound and noise. It is a state of speechlessness, where sounds and words are not enough. And it gives us wings to travel beyond the divides of language. And to experience and celebrate that is a place of satsang. When you look at a place in the world today where there's so much hatred and wars about the different types of language and dialects that people speak, but here in satsang, they are all celebrated because there's no sense of superiority of one language or culture over another. But it is the presence of the one supreme spirit that dwells within all.
Oh, thank you, Sergeant. Those are really beautiful words. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Sergeant.
Oh, I agree. Thank you, Sergeant. Brilliant. I'd like to add at this juncture a quote, and it's verse 91 in the Sampuran Avatar Bani. He who listens to Satguru's words attains purity of mind.
That really is a beautiful quote. But Sergeant, could I just press you a little bit on this and say, you know, what we need to do when our own inner voice gets in the way of that purity? Have you got any words of wisdom on that?
I think sometimes it's very easy to confuse the inner voice with ego's voice. There's no distortion in selflessness, only selfishness. And when there's selfishness, then it's easy to distort the inner voice. There's an example that comes to mind about a microphone and a voice. And Sadhguru is described as the original voice and the microphone is described as the devotee. You see, a microphone is doing really well when it amplifies the voice without distorting it, when it needs to add nothing else to it but the voice.
Absolutely perfect.
Exactly, Mark. When the microphone just amplifies the voice further on, it doesn't need to take anything away from the voice. But when it just simply amplifies it so others can listen to it further and keeping it in its original pitch of that voice, the tone of that voice, the message of that voice, that microphone too is praised. And people say, yes, that microphone is a good microphone. I want the same as that. A devotee's task is to be like that microphone, to allow others to hear Sadhguru's words as they are in the original state, without me perhaps adding my own issues to it or my own agendas or my own ideas or ideology, but just keeping it to the original message of oneness for all. The true inner voice has to be one of truth, has to be one without fear, has to be of love. And when I think, where does that fearless, truthful, loving voice come from? It comes from Sadhguru. And when I recognize that my Sadhguru's voice is a satsang's voice, because that voice resonates also with my own humanity and therefore also with my authentic inner voice too. If my inner voice is not reflecting humanity, it's not reflecting the voice of satsang, which is for the welfare of all, then what is my inner voice all about? Then it only can be about ego's voice. Yes, ego. And that's why it's so important for me to come back to satsang, because it means I'm coming back to humanity and my own inner voice, true inner voice. Of course, sometimes the mind goes awry and it starts thinking of different things and it starts speaking in ego. And I remember the example when I was in a busy shopping center. And at that time, I remember when someone was shouting at me and being very rude to me. And instantly my mind began shouting back. I didn't say anything with my mouth, but I could hear my mind shouting back. And I thought to myself, I paused and I halted and I thought, that is not my true inner voice. Because at that moment, it was a voice of fear, frustration, agitation. And I knew straight away it was Manmat, the voice. It was the mind's counsel, the mind's voice.
Right, yes, I understand that.
And that's why, Maggie, what I'm thinking, it comes with the understanding from satsang, that the one who is Sadhguru, who says that makes us calm and peaceful with that realization, because otherwise, without that realization, it's very easy to lose ourselves to our own inner voice, which is very, very hot-tempered. It is very, very irrational, illogical, and can be very ego-driven and cause a lot of hatred and chaos in the world. And that's why when we're with Nirankar, when we have that feeling with Nirankar, it's often when we are with the saints and we hear that one beautiful voice of welfare for all.
Because that message from Satguru will always be one of pure intention, which is love for all.
Yes.
The message in a situation such as that, Surjit, you know, is what would Satguru say? And that is where Gurmat comes from in the Satguru's wisdom, rather than the mind's voice of Manmat. So the decision has to be in all situations, am I going to follow Gurmat or Manmat? And the wisdom beyond the mind or the ways of the fickle mind. And that's the decision that we should make. Is not what would I want to say? How do I want to respond? What would Satguru say and do in this circumstance? And I think it shows that actually that formless one, Nirankar, is present everywhere. And those who recognize that can become that microphone that Surjit talked of.
Hey, that's right. And this reminds me actually, St. Maggie and Brother Surjit, of something that the Indian philosopher Jiddu Krishnamurti once said, "The ability to observe without evaluating is the highest form of intelligence," meaning that when we look, our minds often judge and attach labels, whereas true listening suspends all judgment, you know? Opening the heart to direct experience such as that of this one Nirankar and without any intellectual interference whatsoever.
Yes, right, I understand. And that's another lovely quote, by the way. And I wonder if this is a good point now, Mark, actually to pose the question, what makes us deaf to listening? And I know I've been guilty of this during my life journey, as I alluded to earlier. I don't listen to God's answer to my prayer. I'm embarrassed to say that I chose to ignore it. And that's where a lot of pain comes from, actually, in life. And when we choose not to listen to the messages we're given, I think back right now to the gift that I was given, and it was actually because I prayed for the life of my then husband, whose life I was very much in danger of losing. And yes, I did hear a voice, and I listened to the voice that was saying very clearly, "Just ask, just ask." And as I was sitting there, you know, in all the stress and anxiety and worry, it said, "Just ask."
So powerful.
And it was so persistent that I actually had no choice but to listen to that.
Right.
And then I asked in the form of a prayer to save my husband's life. And that prayer was answered, for which, you know, I'm very grateful. But for many years, I was spiritually deaf to that. I was out of tune, I suppose. You know, I was not in tune with what I was hearing. And I don't know, but I don't know why that is. And I wonder how many people there are in this world who don't listen to the message, "Just ask." As children, we naturally ask without question, don't we?
We do.
But as adults, pride can get in the way. And the most important thing is to ask for Nirankar.
So true.
When one meets an enlightened saint who can bestow the God knowledge, the Gyan provides real contentment. I remember the profound words, Lord, I ask for you, so I no longer need to ask again. Such a profound quote, because when we find Nirankar with Satguru's grace, all our asking and wantings in grace are already fulfilled as Nirankar's will.
It's such an abundant blessing to receive the Gyan God knowledge. It's like being handed a door key to a musical symphony, actually. You know, one that's actually been lost. So, it's been playing in the background, but you've not really been listening to it, have you?
That's absolutely right. That's like having the radio on in the car, but not listening to it.
Exactly. Before Gyan, life is actually like an out-of-tune guitar, you know? Some of its strings are flat. One or two of them might actually even be sharp, and the sound really doesn't make any sense. All the notes seem to clash. It's very dissonant, and so Gyan is really like the tuning fork that sweetens the sound.
Gosh, I really love that analogy, Mark. I can tell that you're well-tuned.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It sort of restores the spiritual pitch, doesn't it?
That's a good point. Yes.
Yeah, we get perfect pitch. But what I would say is, although I'm now spiritually attuned, I'm still very much tone deaf. I still can't sing Happy Birthday in tune.
I'm not sure I can either, actually.
Let's not test it.
No.
But of course, to my ears, it sounds fantastic. But we do, you know, don't you, that who's conducting all of this?
Mm.
It's Satguru. I see Satguru as the conductor.
While we're actually talking about music, perhaps now is a good and opportune time to introduce a piece of music into the podcast. It was actually recorded particularly for us by Sister Pavita in Birmingham. So yeah, let's have a listen to this piece of music.
But it was never meant to be. Cause fate seems so easy. Like a song I know, feel it down in my bones, like I heard it years ago, and kept it down in my soul. I'm in it all alone, I hear you in every note, so the melody is unforgettable. Friends, reunite.
To Pavit, what a beautiful song, which is all about changing our perception.
Yes, I'd like to thank Pavita as well. Thank you so much. Another thought that springs to mind is, how on earth do we know that we're actually listening to the voice of the divine rather than hearing our own ego? I think that's quite interesting, don't you?
No, I think that's quite a difficult question to answer in a way, because...
Yes, it is.
Ego, it will always find the right answer without seeking to ask for that.
Isn't that true?
It's always been trying to get out. I can only speak from my own experience here, really, Mark. And I'll give an example of my before and after journey, of course, Gyan, if I may. So before Gyan, if I was asking for help, it was all about myself, what I needed, what I wanted, and that's the ego. And that's where you become very self-centered.
Yeah, so you know, it becomes all about oneself, doesn't it?
Absolutely right. So I sought out that God knowledge, the Gyan, and there was a definite sea change. And that ego, which I sort of felt as like a barking dog at the side of you, desperately wanting to be heard, well, you have to calm it down. You have to hush it.
You do.
So now when I'm doing Simran, God Remembrance, I start that conversation with Nirankar, with God, and I do that every day. The first thing I do is to give thanks for actually being given another day.
So important, yes.
And then I seek help and support for everyone. For instance, I might say, Nirankar, please bless everyone with a day of gratitude, tolerance, understanding and love. But then, of course, everyone includes myself.
Yes, it does. And so then it's no longer about me, it becomes a universal prayer. And it's this notion of universal brotherhood, isn't it, which is so important.
Absolutely. And as you know, Mark, that's what the Santa Nirankari mission is all about, which
is
oneness. And this is why we're part of the mission to spread that message. But actually, you need to know God.
So true.
You need to know who it is that you're being grateful to, who you're seeking support from.
Right.
And you know, there's a lot of talk these days about living with an attitude of gratitude. You've heard that, right?
I have, yes.
It's become one of those phrases that gets used very regularly.
Yes, bit of a cliche these days.
It certainly is. But who are we grateful to? And if you don't know who you're grateful to, then it doesn't really have any value, does it?
That's so true. And really, it's important, Maggie, isn't it? The relationship between looking and listening has to be understood. Just as a man may look at the flame, but only listening to the heat, and by that I actually mean feeling the heat, does he actually know its power?
Well, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, and similarly, we may see a river and admire its beauty, but it's only when we listen to its flow that we then feel, recognize its rhythm, its depth, and its movement.
That's right, seeing and looking is so much more, so much deeper.
Yeah. Correspondingly, musicians don't simply look at manuscripts. I'm a musician myself, and we don't just look at the notes on the paper. We realise that listening between the notes is actually what matters.
Yes, it's that silence that's important.
That's right. And Sadhguru shows us to listen to the presence of Nirankar within. And through Brahm Gyan, we no longer worship images that we see, but we listen to and behold Nirankar both directly and continuously. So from the Sampuran Avtarbani verse 60, we have this quote, eyes may see the world and ears may hear discourses. But without Satguru, no one can realise the Formless One.
Absolutely spot on. And thank you for that, Mark. And may we always be blessed by Satguru.
It is indeed amazing grace.
A beautiful piece of music as it happens.
Yes.
Well, an absolute pleasure it's been, Mark, to have this discussion with you and to be blessed by Brother Sergit and Brother David and the beautiful music from Pravita.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed our time here.
Yes, me too. It's been wonderful.
It's been truly an honour and a blessing to be in the company of the saints today to explore this quite challenging topic, as we recognised right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I do hope that nothing I've said today, or yourself, that anything that any of us have said today will cause any misunderstanding or offence to anybody. It's been really lovely.
It has.
Thank you. We've been truly blessed. And with the grace of Her Holiness Satguru Mata Sadiksha Ji Maharaj, we say, Dam Nilankar Ji.